Hi, I'm Kevin Craig, the Libertarian Party candidate for United States House of Representatives in Missouri's 7th Congressional District. But you should not assume that anything on this page represents the views of the National Libertarian Party at lp.org or the Missouri Libertarian Party at molp.org or any other Libertarian candidate. However, I share something in common with the Libertarian Party, and that's the belief that we should re-legalize drugs. So what I'd like to share with you is my reasons for wanting to legalize drugs, and to challenge you, to get you thinking about it, I'd like to suggest that if you don't agree that we should re-legalize drugs, then you are not a conservative, you're not a defender of the Constitution, you're not a real Christian, and you're not a very good human being. So first, a little bit of introduction about myself. I have never used drugs, unlike the last three presidents of the United States. I've never even been in possession of any drugs. I have no desire to use drugs. I kind of look down on drugs like I do intoxication. I'm a Christian, and the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I will talk about more about why I think drugs are wrong and how to deal with drug problems, but just to initially inform you that I've never used drugs and I have no desire to use drugs. In fact, I devoted about a decade of my life to trying to help people get off drugs. I rented a large 12-room home with a couple of other Christian libertarians, Christian anarchists, if you will, and we put the word out on the street that if you're homeless and you want to get off drugs and save up first and last month's rent by getting a job and getting your stuff together, then you're welcome to some hospitality in our home and we'll help you overcome your drug problem. So over the course of about the decade there of the 90s, I had about 1,000 homeless drug addicts in my home, and my goal was to try to help them stay clean and sober, get a job, and get their life back on track. So I've had a lot of experience with drug addicts, and as I say, my goal is for people not to use drugs. On the other hand, I recognize that in some cases there are some medicinal purposes to drugs, and I leave that to doctors, and I don't think politicians are as qualified to determine what people should be using to help their health programs as well as doctors are. So another reason why I think that drugs should be legal is so that doctors and patients can make those decisions for themselves. So let's talk about the four levels of humanity. And I suggested at the beginning of this little audio that if you don't agree that we should re-legalize drugs, that you're not a real conservative, you're not a real defender of the Constitution, not a real American, you're not a real Christian, you're not a very good human being. How can I make such outrageous claims? Well, let's start with the conservative issue. As I say, I don't just believe in legalizing drugs. I believe in re-legalizing drugs. Drugs were once legal. It was certainly at least 100 years after the Constitution was ratified that we first started to see drug laws, and they were typically, at the beginning, directed, for example, against the Chinese or against other racial minorities. But what are you conserving? If you think of yourself as a conservative, what are you conserving? It turns out that drug laws, anti-drug laws, are not conservative. They are secular progressive laws. Prohibition is a progressive movement. And it wasn't conservatives that wanted the government to step in. It was progressives who were at the forefront of prohibition. And I would say that at that time we were starting to see the expansion of a secular humanist worldview. Although it's true that there were a lot of Christians involved in the temperance movement, but still, what motivated them, I believe, was faithless, and we'll get into that in just a minute. So my question is, what are you conserving? I'm conserving a world described on this page by former Libertarian Party candidate, presidential candidate, Harry Brown, who describes how life was when drugs were legal, how a 10-year-old could walk into a pharmacy and buy heroin, and there were no mass addictions. There weren't problems of addiction. There weren't problems of crime and turf wars and drug dealers and things like we have today. The United States was generally more peaceful and self-governing, and people did not go off and get stoned and become drug addicts like they do today, because I believe there was a different world view. There was a different religious motivation and power in America back in the days when drugs were legal. And that's what kept people off drugs. It's faith. It's a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. It's believing that the world has meaning. It's also something that we would describe as a Protestant work ethic. Back in 1892, the Supreme Court of the United States, in a long decision, made a great deal of trouble to emphasize that the United States was a Christian nation. Now, this was a generation after Darwin released his Origin of the Species, and evolution and secularism were starting to gain ground, and the conservative court at that point was trying to take some inroads against the advancing secularism of the day. And so they made a point, an educational history lesson, if you will, to point out that America was a Christian nation. And when America was a Christian nation, you did not have massive drug addicts. You didn't have people getting stoned all the time. It just wasn't a problem. And because drugs were legal, they were sold by reputable businesses and not by underworld drug figures and drug cartels and organized crime kingpins. That's the world that I want to conserve, the world of America as a Christian nation, a world where you had faith and power and vision and optimism concerning the future, Protestant work ethic, meaning that there was something good about serving other people on your job, that your job as a butcher, baker, or candlestick maker was just as holy and just as much in the service of God as being a priest. The priesthood of all believers was another doctrine, along with the Protestant work ethic that came out of the Protestant Reformation. So these are all the things that I want to conserve. The second thing, if you do not believe in the re-legalization of drugs, then you are not a defender of the Constitution. This is a brain-dead Constitutional Law 101 easy issue. It's so obvious that if you know anything about the Constitution, all you have to do is think about it and you realize, okay. And that's this. Number one, the Constitution creates a government of enumerated powers. It's the whole theory behind the Constitution. James Madison, people don't realize this, but the father of the Constitution was initially opposed to a Bill of Rights. He said, for example, "Why do we need an amendment, a Second Amendment, to say that the government can't take our guns? Because there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the government any power to take guns. It's not in the Constitution. You don't need a Second Amendment." But people wanted the Bill of Rights anyway, so eventually Madison capitulated and said, okay, well, he wanted to get the Constitution ratified, so he went ahead and said, okay, we'll have a Bill of Rights. But his theory, the theory of the Constitution, was that it creates a government of enumerated powers, and it can't do anything unless we, the people, delegate it to it, and that power was enumerated in the Constitution. And drug control is not enumerated in the Constitution. Now, to prove this, all you have to do is look at the 18th Amendment and the history of the 18th Amendment. There were the prohibition movement, the progressive movement, wanted Congress to ban alcohol, ban the sale and distribution of alcohol. They went to Congress and they said, ban alcohol, it's causing problems. And Congress properly said, we can't ban alcohol. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives us the power to ban alcohol. If you want us to pass a simple law that bans the sale and distribution of alcohol, you're going to have to amend the entire United States Constitution to give us that power. That's how seriously they took the doctrine of the Constitution as a government that created a government of enumerated powers. Well, the progressive prohibitionists went about and got the votes they needed to amend the Constitution, and Congress banned alcohol and turned the sale and distribution of alcohol over to organized crime and underworld figures like Al Capone. And that turned out to be a disaster because it raised prices, it caused bathtub gin, more people died as a result of prohibition than were dying from alcohol, more families were disrupted. It was a terrible thing. The cure was worse than the disease. So they repealed the 18th Amendment. That's what the 21st Amendment does. And the 21st Amendment took us back to the position where Congress had no power over alcohol. It had no power to pass any laws or any regulation over alcohol any more than it does over guns. And yet we still have a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. If we had an amendment to the Constitution that said Congress can pass no laws regarding tobacco, I'm sure our politicians today wouldn't stop with their Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, even though there were three specific constitutional amendments that prohibited such a bureau, an agency. So if you really defend the Constitution, then you have to defend it as a constitution that creates a government of enumerated powers, and you have to understand that that means it's an open and shut case that the war on drugs is unconstitutional. And so-called conservatives who defend the war on drugs are opposing the Constitution. They're opposing James Madison. They're opposing the whole theory of the Constitution as a document of enumerated powers. The war on drugs is unconstitutional. So if you support the war on drugs, I'd like to suggest you're not a very good American. You're not a defender of the Constitution. I would also like to suggest that you're not a very good Christian. I don't think Jesus would put a pathetic dope-smoking loser in a prison with violent murderers and rapists and other unsavory characters. Prisons are hell holes. You wouldn't want your son to go to prison. And I'll put this more graphically. If you found out that your son was a dope-smoking loser, that he'd lost all ambition, had no aspiration, no optimism, no confidence, no Protestant work ethic, etc., etc., no firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, he was a dope-smoking loser, what would you want to do with your son? Would you want to put him in a private and Christian drug rehabilitation program where we could address the specific spiritual problems that promote drug use that would allow someone, instead of finding joy in living and serving other people and working hard, overcoming frustrations and challenges, providing for a family, making an impact on culture or society, helping someone in need, there's so many things that we can do in life, and to retreat into a world of hallucination and intoxication and being stoned. What are the spiritual motivations? What are the spiritual problems that undergird that kind of addiction, that kind of lifestyle? Would you want to see those spiritual problems overcome in a helpful and empowering and encouraging and perhaps also a program that works on health and diet and other areas, but works holistically to treat the whole person and the deep underlying spiritual roots of drug addiction? Or option B, spend probably 10 times the amount of money it would take to send your son to a private drug rehabilitation program and send your son into a federal prison with a bunch of rapists and murderers so that he can be sodomized for the next 20 years under minimum sentencing guidelines. Is that what Jesus would do? Is that the Christian approach to drugs, to people who are addicted to drugs, to people who have lost aspiration, hope, ambition, optimism, is to treat them to being sodomized for 20 years in a hellhole prison with totally ungodly, reprobate criminals and violent felons? The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Why would you want to further corrupt your son by tossing him in a federal prison with violent felons and sociopaths? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. And how anyone who can even pose as a Christian and then recommend that people be locked in prison for 20 years just for using marijuana or for being enslaved by drugs, as though the guy doesn't have enough problems with an addiction. You want to punish him by being sodomized for 20 years. Prisons are a terrible and unchristian place. There is nothing in the Bible that says put someone in prison and punish them. The Bible says help people who have problems. The Bible says that those who steal should be forced to make restitution, not simply be punished at the expense of the victim. There's a whole worldview here that needs to be looked at more seriously. And the war on drugs is completely contrary to a Christian worldview. Finally, I would say you add these all up. What kind of a world do you want to conserve? What kind of America do you want to conserve? What kind of program would Jesus endorse? And I would suggest that if you support the war on drugs, you support the killing and the crime, the underworld figures, if you support everything that's going on with this war on drugs, you're just not a very alert human being. You need to get in touch with your humanity, get in touch with the values of the Declaration of Independence, and I'm talking about the religious values of the Declaration of Independence, to understand that the existence of God is a self-evident truth, that in the Holy Scriptures, as Blackstone says, we have revealed the laws of nature and of nature's God, that we're going to answer to a supreme judge of the world who is good and merciful, and that we can have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, and that rights, Fourth Amendment rights, and other rights that are listed in the Constitution, these are the product of intelligent design, a benevolent creator and a loving creator, and not to be overturned by zealous drug warriors. And that so often happens. One of the biggest casualties of the war on drugs is not just drug users, but also the Constitution itself. The Fourth Amendment in particular is a victim of the war on drugs. So there's a religious worldview that this is the critical issue, I think, here on the war on drugs. It's not just drugs. It's religion. It's the worldview. It's the idea of what America stands for. So I'd like to suggest that if you continue looking on this webpage, you'll have quite a number of resources which argue, I think, effectively, that yes, it should be legal once again for a 10-year-old to be able to buy heroin or morphine or crack cocaine or anything, because what makes America a city on a hill is the underlying religion of the Declaration of Independence, and not draconian laws, powerful police state, violation of our rights, destruction of the Bill of Rights and the Fourth Amendment, and punishment of a terribly unchristian and ungodly character for those who really have problems that are of a deep spiritual nature. Again, my name is Kevin Craig. I'm the Libertarian Party candidate for Congress, and I'd invite your comments or criticisms on this page. My blog is at blog.kevincraig.us. My web page is kevincraig.us, and an explanation of why it is I am an anarchist, if you want to call libertarians anarchist, go to I am not an anarchist. .us. And I invite your comments. I invite a dialogue and a conversation on this issue. And of course, I don't mean to insult you by saying you're not a conservative, not a Christian, not a good human being, but just to challenge you to rethink these issues. Because I think America was a better place 150 years ago when there were no laws against drugs. Thanks very much for listening, and let's get in touch.